on the number one news talk station, Talk Radio 680, WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Frost. Power is returning to residents of winter storm-stricken states, but plumbing nightmares remain.
Millions of people are under boil water orders because of freeze damage, the latest misery for residents left without heat or electricity for days after ice and snow forced utilities from Minnesota to Texas to implement rolling blackouts. Calvin Stevens was one of many waiting in line for bottled water. He talked to KTRK in Galveston, Texas.
You know, I mean, you can't drink the water. Folks boiling and all that, which I wouldn't drink it even if you boil it.
President Biden says more federal aid is getting readied.
A major disaster declaration.
Bill Magnus, president of the Electrical Reliability Council of Texas, says that the system there has returned to normal for the first time since the storm.
There have been people out in zero-degree temperatures who do run power plants, fixing the problems nonstop.
I'm Jennifer King.
The United States does not plan any sanctions relief before any possible talks with Iran.
The U.S. says it's ready to talk to Iran about returning to a 2015 nuclear deal, but the White House says there is no plan to take additional steps on Iran in advance of having a diplomatic conversation. Press Secretary Jen Psaki says no sanctions will be eased or other steps taken before possible talks with Iran and major powers. Nearly 3 years ago, then-President Trump withdrew the U.S. from the Iran deal. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Color pictures are coming back from Mars at a news conference. Mars mission manager Pauline Huang tells NASA TV the team is receiving good news from the planet's surface.
I'm happy to say that the rover is doing great and is healthy on the surface of Mars and continues to be highly functional and awesome, and just I'm exhilarated.
NASA has released a stunning picture of its newest rover being lowered onto the dusty red Mars surface. The first photo was released less than 24 hours after the Perseverance rover successfully touched down near an ancient river delta. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-351-4596. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-351-4596. 800-351-4596. 800-351-4596.
The Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine does not need to be stored in expensive deep freezers that have posed challenges to the vaccination campaign, the company announced Friday.
Pfizer submitted data to the Food and Drug Administration showing the vaccine is stable when stored between 13 and 5 degrees Fahrenheit, temperatures commonly found in pharmaceutical freezers and refrigerators. The company is asking the FDA to update its authorization of the vaccine to allow for vials to be stored at these temperatures for a total of 2 weeks as an alternative or complement to colder freezers. In a statement, they've said, if approved, the new storage option would offer pharmacies and vaccination centers greater flexibility in how they manage their vaccine supply. Bernie Bennett reporting.
China is considering additional measures to increase its flagging birth rate more than 4 years after ending its controversial one-child policy. For decades, China enforced strict controls on additional births in the name of preserving scarce resources for its burgeoning economy. This is townhall.com. Long-term mortgage rates ticked up this week.
But those rates remain at historic lows as the pandemic continues to batter the economy. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reports that the average rate on the benchmark 30-year fixed-rate home loan rose to 2.81% from last week's 2.73%. The average rate on 15-year fixed-rate loans, popular among those seeking to refinance, rose to 2.21% from 2.19% last week. John Scott reporting.
Just moments ago, Naomi Osaka won her fourth Grand Slam singles title and her second at the Australian Open, defeating American Jennifer Brady in Saturday's women's final 6-4, 6-3. Osaka was 3-0 in previous Grand Slam finals. Daniel Medvedev will face eight-time champion Novak Djokovic in the men's final on Sunday. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Mostly sunny skies for us today, but cold with temperatures a good 10 to 15 degrees below average. A bit windy at times as well with a gusty west to northwest wind. Low to mid-30s this afternoon, 19 tonight. Sunny, cold again tomorrow, upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The WCBM studios are sponsored by Safe Retirement Solutions in Annapolis and Towson, 410-266-1120, or visit saferetirementsolutions.com.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employers, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be.
Talk Radio 680.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. This is Alan Ellis and...
me, Robin.
Robin Ellis.
I just think it's so neat how we just changed from how we're talking normally to being on the radio. That was pretty cool.
Who does?
We do.
Do we?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, I know. I've always done it. It's that when that music stops, it just strikes me and we just talk and do radio stuff. So,
don't
been doing it a long, long time. What?
And don't yell at each other.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Tempt me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Chris.
How you two doing?
We're doing great.
How about you?
Doing okay.
Good.
Didn't fall on the ice, so that's always a good sign.
Well, that's a good thing. Neither did either of us.
Good.
But you got to go out of the house to fall on the ice.
I'm not falling.
So, yeah, I was out a good bit yesterday and the day before, a little bit, but I just generally stayed in. I don't like ice. I've fallen on ice before and don't like it, so.
Well, and after, you know, I would suspect that your various colors of purple have dissipated?
No, not yet.
Not quite. But, you know, that was on dry ground, believe it or not, so when I fell. But, you know, it's just, yeah, it has made me a little more cautious, no question, so. But we did go rabbit hunting. I did go rabbit hunting on Wednesday with my grandson Jacob and Charles Rodney and his pack of beagles and our buddy Bob over there in Caroline County who took his hawk along.
Cool.
Oh, Chris, I'm going to send you some pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, took his hawk along. I've never experienced anything like that before in all my years. I mean, I've hunted rabbits forever. I grew up hunting rabbits. That was my go-to game. And learned a lot about them, hunted them a lot, and, you know, had a rabbit hunting mentor, believe it or not, when I was a kid. A fellow walked around with a double-barreled 12-gauge shotgun with no trigger guard.
Yikes.
Yeah. He only went off once, as far as I know. But we hunted, when I was a kid, we hunted rabbits in frozen swamps. We hunted rabbits in... strip mines, we hunted rabbits in the woods, we hunted rabbits everywhere and just had a great time. But haven't done a lot of hunting over dogs for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, I guess, something like that. My buddy Dale got me started again back in it and we went up and the hawk was on his tether. On the owner's, on his arm, and he would release the hawk when we were chasing the bunnies with the beagle, and the hawk would perch in a tree anywhere from 50 to 150 yards away. And I only had one opportunity to rabbit, and none of us actually got a rabbit. The hawk had one opportunity when the dog got ahead of the beagles, you know, 100 yards or so. The hawk swooped down on the rabbit in the high grass and hit it, but the rabbit rolled and got away. We came up with some rabbit fur, and then the dogs went back to chasing it again. But I only took one shot, missed one, and Jacob took, I think, three shots, and I don't remember, but nobody bagged a rabbit. But anyway, and Charles took one shot. So we chased five or six bunnies around for a long, long time and took a couple shots, but there's no rabbits in the crock pot this morning, unfortunately. But that was quite an experience. Quite an experience watching that hawk work on a rabbit hunt. So I think he caught like five rabbits. The hawk caught like five rabbits in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's been interesting. So for our listeners, the number is 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM-680. And no, that didn't hurt, actually. He was very controlled. I've got a picture of the hawk sitting on my head.
I noticed that Jacob held the hawk correctly and you put it on your head.
I did not put the hawk on my own head. The leather glove was offered to my grandson. He took it, and the hawk was placed on the leather glove. As far as I was concerned, the owner thought that that would be fun to put the hawk on my head.
Oh, I like Bob.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Morning, Bob, if you're listening. So, anyway, that was fun. That was fun. However, I have a shotgun that I've had for 50-some years, first gun I ever purchased, saved the money for and purchased. I actually sold my 16-gauge single barrel to a classmate. And, no, we did not go to a dealer and fill out a 4473. Nope, not back then. Took that money and some other money and bought a, what is it? I can't remember what it is. I think it's a Model 1200 Winchester pump shotgun in 12 gauge. No choke, just a regular modified choke in the barrel. No choke tubes or anything like that. And that's my rabbit hunting gun, because that's the rabbit hunting gun I've used for years. Well, I took one shot at a rabbit, and the extractors, whatever you want to call them, stayed on the shell casing and didn't extract it. And so my gun is jammed right now. It's going to have to go to the gunsmith. And then I'll probably retire it, huh?
You've had a lot of gun issues this year.
Yeah, I have. I'll probably retire it. So I will likely retire that gun after all these years. The stock is getting some cracks in it. And I mean, I've used that thing for every type of small game hunting, duck hunting, and that type of thing. So I think I'll retire that one. I've got other guns. I don't need another, you know, shotgun. So we'll see what happens. The deer harvest numbers are in. 81,729 deer taken during the combined archery, firearms, and muzzleloader seasons from September 11th through February 3rd. The statewide harvest included 29,242 antlered deer and 49,033 antlerless deer, white-tailed deer, plus 1,500 antlered and 1,954 antlerless Sika deer. The harvest was 3% higher than the 2019-2020 total of 79,457 deer. I've got a couple numbers in there. Hunters harvested more than 8,000 deer on Sundays, comprising 10% of the total harvest. Deer hunters took advantage of the new primitive deer hunt February 1st through 3rd and harvested 250 deer. A significant snow and ice storm affected the hunt days, but hunters still managed to harvest 42 deer with primitive bows and 208 deer with primitive muzzle loaders. And if you look on the Bucks, Bears, Stags website or Facebook page, you'll see a beautiful buck taken in Frederick County by Mrs. Carter, C-A-R-D-E-R, took it with her. With her
6-3, Osaka was 3-0 in previous Grand Slam finals. Daniel Medvedev will face eight-time champion Novak Djokovic in the men's final on Sunday. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Mostly sunny skies for us today, but cold with temperatures a good 10 to 15 degrees below average. A bit windy at times as well with a gusty west to northwest wind. Low to mid-30s this afternoon, 19 tonight. Sunny, cold again tomorrow, upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The WCBM studios are sponsored by Safe Retirement Solutions in Annapolis and Towson, 410-266-1120, or visit SafeRetirementSolutions.com.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employers, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. This is Alan Ellis and...
Me, Robin.
Robin Ellis.
I just think it's so neat how we just changed from how we're talking normally to being on the radio. That was pretty cool.
Who does?
We do.
Do we?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, I know. I've always done it. It's that when that music stops, it just strikes me and we just talk and do radio stuff. So, been doing it a long, long time. What?
And don't yell at each other.
Not yet.
Well,
don't
yet.
Tempt me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Chris.
How you two doing?
We're doing great.
How about you?
Doing okay.
Good.
Didn't fall on the ice, so that's always a good sign.
Well, that's a good thing. Neither did either of us.
Good.
But you got to go out of the house to fall on the ice.
I'm not falling.
So, yeah, I was out a good bit yesterday and the day before, a little bit, but I just generally stayed in. I don't like ice. I've fallen on ice before and don't like it, so.
Well, and after, you know, I would suspect that your various colors of purple have dissipated?
No, not yet.
Not quite. But, you know, that was on dry ground, believe it or not, so when I fell. But, you know, it's just, it has made me a little more cautious, no question, so. But we did go rabbit hunting. I did go rabbit hunting on Wednesday with my grandson Jacob and Charles Rodney and his pack of beagles and our buddy Bob over there in Caroline County who took his hawk along.
Cool.
Oh, Chris, I'm going to send you some pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, took his hawk along. I've never experienced anything like that before in all my years. I mean, I've hunted rabbits forever. I grew up hunting rabbits. That was my go-to game. And learned a lot about them, hunted them a lot, and, you know, had a rabbit hunting mentor, believe it or not, when I was a kid. A fellow walked around with a double-barreled 12-gauge shotgun with no trigger guard.
Yikes.
Yeah. He only went off once, as far as I know. But we hunted, when I was a kid, we hunted rabbits in frozen swamps. We hunted rabbits in strip mines. We hunted rabbits in the woods. We hunted rabbits everywhere and just had a great time. But haven't done a lot of hunting over dogs for the last, until the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, I guess, something like that. My buddy Dale got me started again back in it, and we went up, and the hawk was on his tether on the owner's on his arm, and he would release the hawk when we were chasing the bunnies with the beagle, and the hawk would perch in a tree anywhere from 50 to 150 yards away. And I only had one opportunity to rabbit, and none of us actually got a rabbit. The hawk had one opportunity when the dog got ahead of the beagles, 100 yards or so. The hawk swooped down on the rabbit in the high grass and hit it, but the rabbit rolled and got away. We came up with some rabbit fur, and then the dogs went back to chasing it again. But I only took one shot, missed one, and Jacob took, I think, three shots, and I don't remember, but nobody bagged a rabbit. But anyway, and Charles took one shot. So we chased five or six bunnies around for a long, long time, and took a couple shots, but there's no rabbits in the crock pot this morning, unfortunately. But that was quite an experience. Quite an experience watching that hawk work on a rabbit hunt. So I think he caught like five rabbits. The hawk caught like five rabbits in the last couple of weeks. So, it's been interesting. So for our listeners, the number is 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM-680. And no, that didn't hurt, actually. He was very controlled. I've got a picture of the hawk sitting on my head. And a picture.
Yeah, I noticed that Jacob held the hawk correctly, and you put it on your head.
I did not put the hawk on my own head. The leather glove was offered to my grandson. He took it, and the hawk was placed on the leather glove. As far as I was concerned, the owner thought that would be fun to put the hawk on my head.
Oh, I like Bob.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Morning, Bob, if you're listening. So, anyway, that was fun. That was fun. However, I have a shotgun that I've had for 50-some years, first gun I ever purchased, saved the money for and purchased. I actually sold my 16-gauge single barrel to a classmate. And, no, we did not go to a dealer and fill out a 4473. Nope, not back then. We took that money and some other money and bought a, what is it? I can't remember what it is. I think it's a Model 1200 Winchester pump shotgun in 12 gauge. No choke, just a regular modified choke in the barrel. No choke tubes or anything like that. And that's my rabbit hunting gun, because that's the rabbit hunting gun I've used for years. Well, I took one shot at a rabbit, and the extractors, whatever you want to call them, stayed on the shell casing and didn't extract it. And so my gun is jammed right now. It's going to have to go to the gunsmith. And then I'll probably retire it, huh?
You've had a lot of gun issues this year.
Yeah, I have. I'll probably retire it. So I will likely retire that gun after all these years. The stock is getting some cracks in it. And I mean, I've used that thing for every type of small game hunting, duck hunting, and that type of thing. So I think I just think I'll retire that one. I've got other guns. I don't need another, shotgun. So we'll see what happens. The deer harvest numbers are in. 81,729 deer taken during the combined archery, firearms, and muzzleloader seasons from September 11th through February 3rd. The statewide harvest included 29,242 antlered deer and 49,033 antlerless deer, white-tailed deer, plus 1,500 antlered and 1,954 antlerless Sika deer. The harvest was 3% higher than the 2019-2020 total of 79,457 deer. I've got a couple numbers in there. Hunters harvested more than 8,000 deer on Sundays, comprising 10% of the total harvest. Deer hunters took advantage of the new primitive deer hunt February 1st through 3rd and harvested 250 deer. A significant snow and ice storm affected the hunt days, but hunters still managed to harvest 42 deer with primitive bows and 208 deer with primitive muzzle loaders. And if you look on the Bucks, Bears, Stags website or Facebook page, you'll see a beautiful buck taken in Frederick County by Mrs. Carter, C-A-R-D-E-R, took it with her primitive muzzleloader. So there you go. Harvested in Deer Management Region A increased 10%, went from 85.34 to 93.83. Hunters in the western counties reported 5,470 antlered and 3,913 antlerless deer. Now, you might wonder why in that area of the state the antlered numbers are higher than the antlerless numbers, and in the rest of the state the numbers for antlered deer is less than antlerless deer. It's a cultural thing. It is a cultural thing. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to answer what I mean by that. Hunters in Region B harvested 72,346 deer, up 2% from 70,923 deer harvested last year, 25,272 antlered and 47,074 antlerless were reported in this region. Frederick County had the highest reported harvest again this year, 7,342 deer reported. Carroll County followed with 6,202, and Baltimore County was third with 5,356. Garrett and Washington County rounded out the top five with 4,904 and 4,712 deer, respectively. Counties in southern Maryland, which we knew this, experienced significant harvest declines for the season, primarily due to an outbreak of epizootic hemorrhagic disease, EHD. EHD is common in Maryland and varies annually, location, and severity. The 2020 outbreak is not expected to have long-term consequences for the local deer population. If anybody would like to get specific about the deer numbers, we'll be more than glad to do that. I have the county-by-county breakdown. If anybody would like to know their particular county, we'll be more than glad to share that with you. Just wanted you to know that the deer harvest numbers are out, and they're not bad. So 410-922-6680 is our number. Love to hear from you. Chris is manning the phone and screening the calls, and he's the guy that actually puts you on the air. So there you go. Robin?
Yo.
What would you like to report today?
Oh, I'm non-reportable.
Non-reportable?
I didn't do anything except crochet and stay inside and not fall on my butt. I was fine.
Well, that was probably the safe thing to do. That was probably the safe thing to do. We walked a lot on Wednesday. I will tell you that. I mean, you following dogs and trying to get to the rabbits, and you got a couple hundred acres to cover. You tend to do that. Sorry, I could have stayed in bed this morning.
You notice it's getting harder and harder to get up on Saturday morning?
Depends. Yeah, sometimes it is. You're not kidding.
And if the grandkids are here, it gets even harder.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But at least it's not an hour and a half drive to Baltimore.
I know, but I miss Chris.
I miss Chris, too. I miss that smiling face. So, Chris, we're going to have to get together someday when you're down here and visiting your parents. We'll come to you over there in Delaware, and maybe we'll have lunch someday.
I think we lost. Oh, he must be answering the phone.
I think he's answering the phone.
Yeah, hey, we could take him to that Hawaiian restaurant down there.
Nalu. Is that what it's called?
Nalu.
Yeah. Yeah, I like their poke. So.
Oh, and their, what was that? Opa.
Opa. Oh, that's good.
Opa fish,
yep.
Which we had never had before.
Mm-mm. Ocean sunfish. Opa. Very good. Very good.
Beautiful fish.
Mm-hmm.
Big fish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like they could have fed all of Lewis on one fish.
Yeah, they're big fish, no question. Was that Lewis or was that?
Dewey Beach.
Dewey Beach, that's what I thought, yeah. All right. So, wow.
Well, Chris, when you decide to come back, we got plans for you.
Yeah, we do. We're talking about him. Maybe he heard, maybe he didn't hear.
What?
Well, we're taking you to lunch, and we already picked the place and what we're eating, so you missed all of it.
Yeah. Oh. When you visit your parents, we're going to come over and take you to lunch.
Oh, okay.
Is that a deal?
It sounds good. And I'll just take some extra time off so that way nobody feels rushed. I have Jean on the phone. She wants to talk about nature.
Jean and nature.
Oh, cool.
Good morning, Jean.
Hey, good morning, Jean and nature. Yes, I saw a bird fall dead at my back door. It was kind of a larger, blacker bird. And I just wonder, how do they survive with this crusty ice all over everywhere? I have no idea, but the Lord helps them survive some way because we always have birds.
No question.
How do they, hon?
Well, a fellow by the name of Lou Hoffman used to have a magazine called the Pennsylvania Sportsman. Lou's gone now. And I knew Lou, but he wrote an article one time about sitting out in the woods. I think it was during deer season, snow on the ground, and he was watching a chickadee. And he said, how does that chickadee go about his daily activities and survive when I'm all bundled up here in this, you know, insulated clothes, and he's out there just, you know, with his feathers on, and, you know, how do they actually do that, you know? And he had the same speculation 40 years ago that you have today, and they do. When I'm sitting in the deer woods, I'll see a variety of birds coming through, and they come through in sometimes they're all the same kind. Sometimes it's cardinals, sometimes it's robins. I mean, the last time I was out, there must have been 100 robins in the trees and all around me. But most of the time, the smaller birds, like the chickadees and the juncos and the titmice and the wrens and the creeper. I mean, they're all just kind of in one bunch, and you see them going through their daily routine. They're finding, you know, seeds and buds and whatever the birds eat, and you know those things are out there in nature, and you know it's all part of a big plan. And I mean, I'm glad God designed it that way, that these animals can survive through these nasty weather conditions. Now, I don't know what caused this bird to fall dead at your back door. Did you hear a thump? Did it hit the window or hit the glass? Or
no, I just opened the door and I had a little rug out there, and I said, what's that dark-looking thing there? And it was a rather bigger bird. You know,
yeah.
It was a bird. I figured, oh, poor thing. He's waiting for me to throw him some, you know, bread or something. I didn't make it. I feed them sometimes. And,
yeah.
They come off of their electric lines by droves, you know, 30, 40, and flop down in the backyard and eat every morsel I could throw out to them. But
yeah.
I'm not into bird feed.
Right, right.
But it made me feel so good that the poor little thing's got something in their stomach.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. Yep, well, they survive somehow with what's available to them, so.
I was thinking the same thing about our squirrels who are out there running around the other day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the squirrels. I was reading about one of them, and in an article, and they actually dig a burrow somewhere out there in the yards or the buildings behind whatever, and they go down in there.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, most of the squirrels around here will hang in their nests. We have nests in the neighboring trees, and they insulate those nests rather well. And squirrels breed twice a year. So they're either, you know, raising young or breeding, and it's quite interesting to watch them. So.
Yeah, yep. I love my little critters. You know, see them.
Sure, I got it.
Frost, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just wondering, they do survive somehow.
They do. Yep, they're provided for. No question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, how do you spell your last name? Can I get it on the internet or?
Yeah, Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com is my email address, but the last name is Ellis, E-L-L-I-S.
I thought so. I've never tried it.
Yeah.
But, I think I will. So.
Gonna Google me?
I might.
Google away.
I don't know what you look like.
Oh, well, good.
He's handsome.
Go to the website, ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay. I sure will. Well, thanks. enjoyed listening to you.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm a fisherwoman. I love fishing.
Well, good.
That's me and you then.
Yep, Robin's a fisher as well, and an angler.
Yeah. Yeah, I love my fishing, yeah.
Got it. All right, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, okay, enjoy your show. All right.
All righty, thank you. Bye-bye.
You have a great day.
Let's talk to Bill in Dundalk. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
How are you?
Morning.
I'm fine. Good morning, Miss Robin. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, we were talking, what's the best plan look from the antlers that a deer are dropping now? In the woods, the pasture, or where?
Well, anywhere you find deer, they will drop their antlers at any stage. But most of my friends that antler hunt go along the edges of the woods, like the first 10 yards inside the woods.
Okay.
They follow the deer trails, and they also go to water.
And water.
They go to, yeah, they walk along the water. If you have a creek or a pond or something there.
Okay.
My friend was out the other day. He found 21 dead bucks and I don't know how many sheds.
Damn.
In 10 hours.
Damn.
The two biggest ones had brain abscess disease. Four or five of them had, he believed were from EHD, maybe more. And, he and his son's day out there.
So, damn. What cause is that?
What causes what?
That disease of deer dead.
Brain abscess disease?
Yeah, what causes that?
Well, it's in the soil, and it's a bacteria, and deer will get it when they rub their antlers on the trees or when they fight. If they get any kind of injury to their, you know, to their head, the bacteria will migrate down through the sutures in the skulls. You've seen those wavy lines that hold the skull together. And it will get into the lining of the brain and become infected. And sometimes, it'll separate the skull and the horns will separate or get loose. And it's generally fatal.
Yeah. And that's from eating the grass and all that stuff?
No, I just said what it was from. It's from bucks fighting and you know, penetrating the skin. The bacteria gets in under the skin, gets into the sutures in the skull, and then causes an infection in the lining of the brain. And it will, as the infection grows, the deer becomes sicker and sicker and sicker. The skull starts to separate. The infection grows and eventually kills the deer. EHD is epizootic hemorrhagic disease, which they had a big outbreak in southern Maryland, and we had a outbreak here in Queen Anne's County, Kent County. That is caused by the bite of a midge or a no-see-em. You know what that is? A little gnat type of ant-like type of bug?
Yeah.
Well, that usually the animals get bitten with infected midge, and they get a bacteria from them, and it or virus, and then they get an infection from the bite. And as the infection continues to grow, sometimes it's very rapid. It will kill a deer in a day or two. They get a high fever. Their organs begin to break down. It's called a hemorrhagic disease because their blood vessels are affected, and they start to hemorrhage internally. And that'll eventually kill them. Now, that affects all manner of deer. It doesn't matter how big the buck is or how, you know, small the doe is. That'll take out a whole herd if they all go to water at the same time, because these little things live along the water, you know.
So what's the mix? Get the germ out of the water?
Okay. I just said they get bitten by a midge. The deer get bitten by the midge.
Right. The midge is.
That I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Don't know. I mean, a midge doesn't live very long. I assume it's something that's in their system. It's not that they get it from something, but midges are like mosquitoes. They're bloodsuckers.
Right.
So. I missed that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. He's gone.
Oh, got it. All right.
Yeah, I'll have to explain later.
Yeah. Who else we got?
You have Bob.
Bob! Hey, Bob! How are you doing, buddy?
Hello, Alan. Hello, Robin.
Hey, Bob.
I was talking about you, man.
I know. I was listening. I got up extra early so I could turn on my phone and listen.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Hey, I have a question. How old is your hawk, or how young is your hawk?
Well, it was this year. I'm only allowed, you know, I just trapped it, so you're only allowed to catch a passage hawk, they call it. So it's a hawk that was hatched out last summer.
Okay. Later, so less than a year old.
Early spring, I guess, they hatch out, or they might be hatched about now. Actually, they're laying eggs probably about now.
Right.
No, whatever. So, yeah, it's a new hawk. Yeah. Next year, it'll get the red tail, and hopefully it'll even be a little bit better bird.
I sent that photo to a bird friend of mine, and he mentioned that he couldn't see the red tail. Of course, none of the pictures really had that, and he asked if it was immature, and I didn't have the answer, so I can answer him now.
Yeah.
So.
Immature red tail, correct.
But very smart.
So, very, very clever.
Yes, very clever bird.
Yep. So I took Belle for a walk. Went down that lane towards the cemetery, and she locked up on point really nice.
Uh-huh.
And right under the cedar tree was that rabbit, I'm sure the luckiest rabbit out there. And then they got jammed.
That's right. You saw that.
It took the same route exactly. I thought, sure, we just run into the hole there because it ran right through that cemetery. But instead, it kept on running, went out the other side of the cemetery, and went right down out the same cornfield. It was weird. And Belle chased it all the way around. It came back, and I called Belle back and said, leave that rabbit alone.
He deserves to live.
That rabbit had a charmed life, Jacob. That rabbit took us on an adventure, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Jacob shot at it when it crossed the road the first time, and shot at it in a cornfield, and then it just kind of hunkered down, and the dogs found it out in the middle of a cornfield, and then it... I thought the dogs were going to catch it. They were that close. I had to wait till the rabbit outran the dogs to take a shot. And, well, I missed. So, that happens.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yep.
Now I got to get to see the rabbit again that way. So.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, catch and release rabbit hunting.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let you go.
Hey, thank you for your hospitality. You make a delicious venison chili, by the way.
It worked out good. Yeah.
Every time he spends time with you, Bob, he comes home happy.
Yeah, very good.
All right, buddy.
We're all happy.
Everybody's happy. Take care, Bob.
See ya.
All right. I think we should take our first break. What do you think, Chris?
I couldn't agree anymore.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. Well, I would if I could find what I was looking for. There it is, right there. Our friends at Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be holding their 10-day Let's Go Fishing Sale on Friday, March 5th through Sunday, March 14th, coming up pretty quick. Most of the tackle is on sale. Tackle for perch and trout is definitely on sale. All trolling lures are on sale. Kids Fishing Combo are on sale. All rods and reels are on sale. I think you get the idea. The features this year are the Penn spinning reels, which would be the Battle 2 series, and the Pfluger spinning reels, which would be the President series. They're both on sale. And especially interesting, if you want to refresh the line on your spools, you just take your empty spools, and Clyde Sport Shop will replace the line on your spools with premium monofilament line for half price, starting at just 1 cent per yard. I think I explained that pretty well, didn't I, Robin?
Yes.
Good. So check out the selection of St. Croix. I knew you were listening. I'm sorry. Check out the selection of St. Croix rods while you're there. These are great rods. Clyde's has live and frozen bait, and minnows, and fishing licenses, and rod repairs, and all kinds of lures and hooks and terminal tackle for any species. They have the circle hooks for rockfish, bucktails, umbrellas, and parachutes. All at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. Hey, I bet you wanted that fireplace working this week, didn't you? Got pretty cold out there in those frozen days. I mean, you could sit in front of the fire. Well, guess what? We did. But if you have one of those beautiful fireplaces that you never use because you don't want to cut wood anymore and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to stack the wood and haul the wood and saw the wood and split the wood, well, guess what? We had one of those holes in the wall. All it did was suck the heat out of the room, and we fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Hearth America at Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert after disappointing visits to several other Delmarva locations. Hearth America did the installation. And they've provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. We both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. And Robin loves that remote control. You can start that fire right now if you want it, or turn it off right now if you want it, right?
I like, you know, it's not on. I just noticed it.
Yeah.
The glowing part at the bottom, which I really like. I'm going to turn that on.
You need to turn that light on. What?
You know who else likes the remote?
Who's that?
Jameson.
Our grandson. Our one-year-old. Yeah, he likes it.
He comes into the house, and you got to grab remotes.
I know. And your phone. And your
cell phone. And your drinks.
Yep. Hey, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands. And now's the perfect time to own a new pellet stove, a gas stove, an electric stove, or a wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Whatever you prefer. Stop in the showroom, Route 50 at Exit 44. Be ready for the cold weather right now. It's here. Visit BackyardBillies.com or the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. That's Hearth America at Backyard Billies. Open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billies is the fireplace. Alan Ellis here for Lydex spray-on truck bed liners. Linex spray-on truck bed liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. Whether you're a farmer, a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a waterman, a contractor, a weekend warrior, your Linex bed liner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools, your Linex bed liner will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, of course. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. Catonsville Linex is located just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call at 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Linex at Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner today. You'll be very glad you did. We'll be right back after these messages.
Mostly sunny skies, for us today a bit windy and cold, temperatures below average, gusty west to northwest winds at times, afternoon highs only in the low to mid-30s, 10 plus degrees below average. Clear skies, cold overnight, tonight low 19, sunshine for us again Sunday, temperatures tomorrow afternoon only reaching the upper 30s. Chance of snow Sunday night into Monday, possibly mixing with rain Monday morning as it tapers to an end, highs Monday, lower 40s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learned more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunked, well, hell, I still had a good day. 'Cause if I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch the bobber go floating away.
I love that song.
Yep. So, Chris, a buzzard gets on a plane with a dead rabbit.
Okay.
Well, why did the dead rabbit get on the plane?
A buzzard got on a plane with a dead rabbit. The flight attendant said, "You can't bring that dead animal on the plane." The buzzard replies, "It's okay. It's just my carry-on. It's just my carry-on."
Carry-on?
Carry-on.
What's that?
C-A-R-R-I-O-N.
What is that?
A carcass.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's just my carry-on.
You have to know what a carry-on is to make it a funny joke.
I knew what a carry-on was.
Well, I didn't.
A blind rabbit and a blind slug are moving through the forest, and they happen to bump into each other. The slug reaches out, touches the rabbit, and says, they're blind, remember. You're soft and fluffy. You must be a rabbit. The rabbit reaches out, touches the slug, and says, "You're cold and slimy. You must be a politician."
Okay, that one was funny.
Did we start the jokes in the first hour already? Thank you, Joe, for the email.
Joe, I appreciate it, actually, because we were trying to...
I like the carry-on one.
Well, you would if you understood it. I didn't understand it.
Gotcha.
You didn't understand the cartoon I sent you the other day.
No, I didn't. I didn't get that. Let's talk to Jay in Towson. Good morning, Jay. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mr. Allen, and good morning, Miss Robin.
Morning, Jay.
It's very nice to talk to you. The reason I called, you talked about the no-see-um.
Yes, sir.
It's an ingredient of a problem I've been working on for a couple years and never got to that aspect of it. So I want to thank you for adding a little dimension to my work. The other thing I wanted to say was because I'm a Youper and... Now,
I was going to ask you where you were from originally.
Yeah, I'm from Holton and Hancock.
Right.
Up in the Keweenaw. And as a Youper, I did a lot of hunting up there. But now I'm challenged. I'm in a chair and bed and so on. So I'm writing about some of my experiences back a long time ago. But the thing that I wanted to tell you about is what I saw down here for the first time. It wasn't recently. It's been, maybe a year or two. I saw a goshawk.
You saw a goshawk?
Yeah.
How long ago?
Oh, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. At one point, DNR was asking anybody that saw a goshawk to report it where they saw it. Did you see it near your home?
Oh, yeah. It was right next door to me.
No kidding.
And it worked right through the tree, the leafless trees. And I had never seen anything like that. The way it did, it went between the branches and the twigs and everything else, and it was totally silent. It had great wings on it, and next thing I know, it was down on the ground, hit a rabbit, and took it over and sat on a log and picked that rabbit apart.
Yeah.
Just the most amazing experience I'd ever known. I didn't know a bird that big could fit inside and between the branches of a tree. And the only one that I knew that I'd ever heard that could do something like that was a goshawk.
You are truly blessed, my friend. Those are birds are so rare.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
they're so rare. I saw one once.
I've seen one in my life. That's
yep.
it.
Yep.
The only one, but it was the wingspan was incredible, and how it could move between the branches and use those wingtips and everything else. And totally silent.
Sure.
You don't even hear it. You know, I mean, it just boom, and there it is. And
wow.
How could a bird that big fit through all of that, you know, debris, I guess I
sure.
call it.
Sure.
And it does what it does and hunts, and then it gets to its prey. Wow. It
yeah.
was incredible.
It is.
You
it
know,
is.
It was a blessing. It was a blessing for me to see.
Sure.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to tell you and talk about. I didn't know if you, because I haven't. I've never seen one again.
No, they're very, very rare. You are indeed blessed, my friend, to see one. That's a
well,
good question.
Well, for a youper, I was happy.
Well, enjoy the rest of the weekend, Jay. And I tell you, I appreciate that tale. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I was going to call you a couple weeks ago because I heard you were talking about the UP, which is my former home.
Yes.
And, you know, I did a lot of deer hunting. Oh, my goodness, I was out like you all the time.
Did you ever hear the singing group, Da Youpers?
Yes. Yeah, I did. And that's between them and the Coast Guard. I had friends who were Coast Guards people.
Yep.
And they had the wood rush up there and the woodbine and so on, you know, that are wooden hull double enders, and they do a lot of work in the woods, surprisingly
sure.
enough. I never knew that until I saw them and had a chance to talk to them, and was rescued by a Coast Guard a couple of times, and I just... Now, my rescue is totally different, and so I'm writing about some of these experiences, and when you mentioned what you did about the no-see-ems, because I followed the problem of the deer tick and some of the others, and I never even considered the no-see-em.
Yes, sir.
But boy, they're nasty.
They are, and you know the other disease I mentioned, brain abscess disease. The epicenter of that in the country is right here in Maryland, Kent County, Queen Anne's County, Cecil County. That is something that is vexing to the deer herd, and especially the bigger bucks. In Maryland, which is that brain abscess disease. So,
well, let me ask you a question then about that.
Yep.
When you take a deer, you know, if it's not dead within a day or whatever it is, and you wonder about that type of a disease.
Yeah.
What do you do with the deer? I mean, can you eat any of it or not?
If I shot a deer with brain abscess disease, I would be very, very cautious about eating it. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Well, depending on the health of the deer. You know, EHD, there is not any danger to humans for deer that have survived epizootic hemorrhagic disease. The deer has a certain appearance. Swelled face, the hooves slough
right.
off, that type of thing. But brain abscess disease, I know that people have eaten deer with it and not had any, you know, any follow-up issues. But I will say this, if it were me and I knew what the animal had, I would most likely call the Department of Natural Resources and I would tell them I just shot a deer with brain cyst disease, and I would like to abandon the carcass. And I think they would be okay with that.
Wow, it's most interesting. You know, I don't know if you recall Marshall Dillon.
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Festus.
Yeah.
And Festus would talk about the epizooty.
Yeah, he had the epizootics. That's right.
I never knew how that. Now, does that mean that this stuff can cross species because of the
no
see-em?
No.
Okay, that's good. That doesn't explain why I'm in the condition I'm in, but it makes me guarded just the same.
I think now there are certain types of epizootics. Not necessarily from the no-see-em, but diseases like the H5N1 bird flu, that can cross species.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You've given me a whole new chapter to work on.
Well, good.
I now, thank as far you. As far I as really what, do. That's why. Yeah, I listen to your program every week.
Jay, as far as your condition, have you ever been checked for Lyme disease?
Oh, yeah, but I have no idea because when I was overseas, I lived in Singapore.
I get it. Yeah.
You know, we had all kinds of things.
Sure.
And it never dawned on me. The ticks I know about.
Yeah.
And I think ticks are a lot of the reason why I have the problem that I have. But the one that hadn't dawned on me was until you said
no see him. Yeah.
Now I really gotta do some digging.
Do some digging, my friend.
Okay. Thank you, and to both you and Miss Robin, I wish you well in all that you do. I enjoy your stories, and I enjoy your recipes and everything else. I just don't enjoy the hunt anymore.
I understand it.
I get it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
God bless you. I'll be talking to you again.
This was great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Have
you
a good
take
day.
Care. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
That was cool.
That was a good call. I liked that. Enjoyed that a lot. So, all right. Mr. Chris, any callers on the line, my friend?
No, sir, and I'm thinking, just in case, it might be time to get that second break in.
Well,
I love when he keeps you straight.
It's that time management thing.
Because we know how horrible Alan is at it.
All right, so when the weather breaks this coming week, you know, spring's right around the corner. The groundhog saw his shadow and said 6 more weeks of winter. Well, that's been 2 weeks ago, almost 3 now. So we're halfway through it. Spring's going to be popping out here pretty soon, so you've put it off long enough. It's time to get to Backyard Billy's and see their full selection of the colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture. It's time to make your backyard fun. Giant selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs, and a lot of those Adirondack chairs in all different styles. They got them with crabs on them and all different colors. You can see those off of Route 50 at Exit 44 if you're looking for it. Okay, you can see that whole big giant selection right there. That's Kent Island, the end of Kent Island. You'll find swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds, all those in Backyard Billy's backyard. They have free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. So, inside Backyard Billy's huge showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills by Traeger and Big Green Egg and Kamado Joe. You can browse the great-looking garden decorations and furniture for any lifestyle, theme, and budget. And don't forget, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBilly's.com or call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44. Your backyard is gonna look great. Yes, it is. So, Alan Ellis here. Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest truck bedliners on the market. Whether you're a farmer, a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a waterman, a contractor, a weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands and tackle boxes and ATVs and crab pots and tools of all kinds, ladders and, you know, wrenches and paint cans. Your Linex bedliner will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Bobby Hawkins is the man there. That number is 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a spray-on product called Value Guard No Rust. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
They're rioting in Africa. They're starving in Spain. There's hurricanes in Florida. And Texas needs rain. The whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans. The Germans hate the Poles. Italians hate Yugoslavs. South Africans hate the Dutch. And I don't like anybody very much. But we shall be thankful and tranquil and proud. For man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And we know for certain that some lovely day someone will set the spark off and we will all be blown away. How nice.
There. All right, that's enough of that. Let's talk to Bob on the Eastern Shore. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing good.
Miss Robbins, shout out to Lion Roar.
Always. Hey, have you seen that new video yet?
No, I haven't.
Look up Love Letters to the Shore.
Okay, I will. I want to talk to you, Alan, about rabbit hunting. I ain't done any since practically when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was so different than you used dogs to hunt them. And when they jumped them, you always stood right there and waited because they always doubled back.
Circled back, yep, exactly right. Still do it the same way.
But you got to lead them just like a duck or a goose.
That's true.
Well, it didn't really hurt them, but.
Yeah.
Now, you weren't the dog.
See?
Uh-huh.
You weren't the dog.
Right. That's right. Well, Tim won the game, I guess. But I was just wondering, I wanted to get your opinion. I think we talked about it before, but. The change in farm practice with no more hedges, no more bushes between the fields has cut down on rabbit population.
And everything else, quail?
Yeah, it's hard to find a place to rabbit hunt.
It is. And everything is leased for deer hunting. So you've got to actually wait till after deer season is over, which now runs into February. So, you've got February to hunt them.
Yeah, you ain't got much time to hunt. But I'm telling you what, I think the limit was 6 back when I was a kid. We got a mess of them. My mother would make, man, you want to talk about good eating. They taste almost like chicken. My mother would make rabbit salad.
Wonderful. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And I got another question for you. It's not related, but.
Okay.
I live somewhere where I live by the Tuckahoe River.
Right.
And I guess they're yellow perch fishing now.
Yes.
Somebody told me they're filled with worms, and you can't eat them. Do you know anything about that?
Yellow perch have worms. A lot of fish have worms. You just don't eat them. I mean, you can throw the fish back, or you can clean the fish and cook it. And, you know, that will not affect you. So.
I got you.
So, yeah, hey, buddy, we got the music playing. I'm going to have to let you go unless you want to hang on through the next through the news break.
Okay, well, I'll get off here.
All right.
Have a great day.
Nice talking to you, Bob.
You too.
See ya.
Talk to you soon. Okay, I ruined my day with the perch.
Real quick.
Get out, stay safe, and catch some fish.